It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me today for It's a Good Life. In the book of Psalms, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Well, in his law, that the law here means God's word. And that's what I'd like for us to do right now, is to look at God's word as we continue our study about the fruit of the Spirit. There's much confusion about this, and I believe the Bible gives us all the answers we need to stop the confusion. And join with me as we look right now in the study of the fruit of the Spirit, lesson number 2. Now, we've been speaking of, in the last time that we were together, I was speaking about the fruit of the Spirit. And in John chapter 15, Jesus said that he is the branch, and that we are that he is the vine and we are the branch. And then we see in Galatians 5:22, it says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And we saw how that the husbandman, or the keeper of the vineyard as such, is God himself. We are like someone who is going out, and we're seeing results in our lives as children of God. And the result that we are to see in the results is that, of course, of Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. And once again, let me remind you, the fruit of the Spirit is not soul winning. We often get that mixed up, and we think that we are winning souls. Well, once again, it's not only God who we look to have this fruit of the Spirit. He is the one who gives us this ability to produce fruit, to have the fruit that's mentioned of in Galatians chapter 5. But he is also the one who wins. He is the one who saves people. We don't save anyone. Now, I'm not telling you not to witness, not to give the Word of God out as a saved person. That's how people get saved. We give the Word of God out. Remember, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as you as a saved person, and I as a saved person, we are to give out the Word of God. And when a person gets saved, bless God, the angels rejoice in heaven. And we rejoice because that person has gotten saved. But that's not the fruit that Jesus is speaking of in John chapter 15. And it's not the fruit that's spoken of in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and long-suffering, and so forth, as we've read. Well, now, as we look on about the fruit of the Spirit, we need to understand that good fruit is produced by a healthy tree. Now, once again, I'm comparing this to what we have around us in our daily lives. And as I live in Florida, and I see these trees, I see the orange trees and things growing, but I have an orange tree in the backyard, and that tree has recently been hit by a blight. Well, that tree is not healthy, and it's not bringing forth good fruit. And the secret of fruit bearing is to stay healthy. That orange tree that I have must be healthy in order to bring forth fruit. Well, why do not some trees or vines produce good fruit? And I've just told you my tree has a blight. And there could be a number of possible problems, frost, disease, caterpillars, and other harmful insects, and so forth. But a healthy tree produces good fruit. And in contrast, and in relation to that, the believer must stay spiritually healthy and in a right relationship with the Lord. The believer must resist such diseases as legalism. Now, legalism is when a person thinks he can please God by his own works. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, it says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only I would I learn of you: received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Well, there's nothing a person can do to earn salvation. There's nothing a person can do to stay saved. And that's what Paul is speaking of in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Legalism is when a person thinks he can please God by his own works, and that is a blight upon the Christian life. And another one is formalism. And this is when a person thinks that outward acts of religion can cover up a lack of inner power and reality. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And some people, I recently heard a preacher say that we have a Sunday smile. In other words, we put on a good show on Sunday or when we go to church, but then when we leave, we have that sour look and we have that sour inside us. And having a form of godliness, we need to be in love with Jesus Christ. And then, first of all, you've got to be saved, of course. You've got to love the Lord. Realize what He did for you. He died on the cross for you, and because He died, you can have eternal life. And the good news is that He's alive today. Because He's alive, He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary, and because He's alive today, you can have eternal life. And we do have eternal life if we've trusted Him as Savior. Well, the diseases can come in many forms for a Christian. Legalism, formalism, and other things. But these diseases choke out the life of Christ and dim one's view of the cross. We let things get in the way. We let things get in the way of our lives as Christians. Then the cross becomes dim, the view of that cross that Jesus died on for us. The believer must abide in Christ and stay connected to Him. In John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5, it talks about this. We must stay connected to Him because being connected to the true vine is the only healthy place to be for the Christian. Now I want you to notice something else with me. The nature of the fruit is produced quite naturally for the Christian. The pear tree, now once again, let me compare this to something that we have naturally, that we see naturally in our everyday lives. Now you may not see pear trees, but let me use this as an illustration. The pear tree does not strain and toil and exert itself in an effort to push out pears, and nor does it worry and fret as to whether or not the pears will appear. It's quite the contrary. The pear tree just stays healthy, getting proper nourishment, and the pears naturally are produced. And think about a tomato vine. Do tomato vines struggle and sweat and labor and say, oh, we need to somehow squeeze out a tomato? No, God brings forth the tomatoes quite naturally. And the fruit of the Spirit does not come as a result of man's thoughts, efforts, or tradition. In Colossians 2:8, it says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And then we read in Colossians chapter 2, verses 18 and 19, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not beholding the head, from which all the body by joints and hands and our bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. Well, what does that mean? That means that we need to depend upon the Lord. He is the vine. We are the branches. And we need to stay in His Word. We need to have the thoughts of God in our minds and in our hearts. And the way we have that is through His Word. We don't let the cares of this world choke out the things that we need to be exhibiting in our lives as Christians. Fruit is God's doing, and He is the expert at producing the best fruit. We need to let God do it. Some people try to force the issue. They try to be Christians. Well, you don't try to be a Christian. You're either a Christian or you're not. You're either saved or you're lost. And as a Christian, you can't force things. You cannot force the fruit of the Spirit that we've read about in Galatians chapter 5. We must let the fruit of the Spirit appear through the vine, through us, and let that Holy Spirit work in and through us. We must submit ourselves to God as Christians. Revelation 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." We're not to have this fruit or look forward to having this fruit to please ourselves, to bring honor and glory to ourselves, but we are to look forward and strive, and maybe the word that word strive is not the right word, but we need to let God work through us so that we can bring honor and glory to Him. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Let God work in and through you. You can't force it. You must submit to Him. And once again, stay in the Word and let God lead you through His Word. And then we also see that fruit helps to identify. Well, what does the fruit help identify? Well, our Lord said, "Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them," Matthew 7:20. And if you see apples hanging on a tree, you can be sure it is an apple tree. If you see a vine-like plant growing in your garden, you may not recognize it, but once you see a watermelon growing on the vine, then identification of the plant's easy. If you see tomatoes hanging on a plant, you can be sure it is a tomato plant. If you see the genuine fruit of the Spirit being manifested, then you can be sure that the Spirit of God is working in that person. And the people need to see that in us. And sometimes the question is asked, how can a person give evidence of the fact that the Spirit of God dwells within? The greatest evidence, the greatest proof is not that the person speaks in tongues, as some believe, or has had some emotional experience. The greatest evidence is fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is the outward and visible evidence of that inner life and power and person that lives within, namely God, the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Next time, we're going to pick up here, and we're going to continue our study about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, some of this may not seem like it's making sense to you at this point, but if you'll stay with me, we'll look at this together, and it'll start making more sense as we get into the Word of God. And I pray that you are in the Word of God as a Christian. You need to stay in the Word of God, and you're going to grow in His grace and knowledge that way. And remember, we get saved. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Our faith increases daily, by the minute, as we stay in the Word of God. Get in His Word, read His Word, study His Word, and He's going to comfort you and guide you. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this time. I pray for those people listening, Lord, for that person who does not know You as Savior. I pray that person would receive You right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive You as Savior. If you'll pray a prayer like that, God will save you. And Father, I pray for that person who is saved. That person, Lord, who knows You as Savior, may that person continue to grow in Your grace and knowledge. For Jesus' sake, amen.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.